fasting. But it's not until the following week. We have one more Sunday. And so this Sunday, I want to talk to us about our own lives, positioning ourselves, and knowing how to be in the place to commune and communicate with God so we can get our answered prayers. And then next week, I think that I'm going to be ministering on praying in the anointing and how we work and flow with the Spirit of God to really accomplish things like we're going to be doing in our week of prayer and fasting. Last year, I remember that our attendance was unusually good, and I declare it's going to be the same this year. I feel like the week of prayer and fasting is how God rescues us every year. Some of us, every now and then, some of us kind of grind down a little bit in our excitement toward the Lord. And that week of prayer and fasting reminds us how wonderful the Holy Ghost, how wonderful Jesus, how wonderful the Word of God, how wonderful His presence is. So you be getting ready, be getting prepared for that week of prayer and fasting. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." We can't overlook that this is an outstanding, outrageous promise. Many people, just on the face of it, just choose to believe, well, it can't be true. I just won't believe it because it just seems so unreasonable, but God can really be very unreasonable, I think. He is not committed to our reasoning ability. We have to give God room to be God. That's one of the first things I learned about serving Him. Let Him be God. And I see two things here that we can't overlook in these conditions. There are two conditions included here. The prayer is to be, number one, according to His will. You saw that in those verses. Is it still up here? Or is it up here at all? All right, doesn't matter. According to His will. And secondly, if we know He hears us. Those two qualifications. Well, so sometimes the enemy... By the way, how many of you know the devil's an unbeliever? And so from time to time, he likes to say to you, but how can you know that He'll hear you? And how can you know the will of God? So therefore, you know, you're really pretty well cooked on this thing. It's not going to work for you because you can't figure it out. Oh, it's not complicated at all. He's a liar. According to His will is number one. I love this. Kenneth Hagin taught me this. His word is His will. And I studied it, and I got chunks and chapters and verses and yards of the Word of God in me so that I already know. And if I didn't, I can look it up what His will is. So I don't hesitate about praying for people to be healed. Of course He wants them healed. His name's Jehovah Rapha. I know the will of God about healing. I know it's the will of God for me to prosper, so I don't mind praying for people to prosper. I know it's the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. So I know that I'm praying in the will of God. If you have any question about it, get into the Word of God and find out what His will is concerning those things. The Word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the Word of God. And secondly, if we know that He hears us, you can know whether or not He's hearing you. Did you know that? One way you can know that is there's ways you can know He's not hearing you. Do you ever think about coming into the back door? There's a lot of doors to learning the things of God. And He's told us, if you do thus and so, or if you neglect thus and so, the Lord will not hear you. So if you want your prayers answered, you need to get in line with that. You know, prayer is the most hopeful possibility known to man. It is the most hopeful possibility known to man. I live my whole life hopeful. Not because of you or me, or even John, but because of prayer. Well, I say, this is what it is, but I can pray. Sometimes I see things I just don't like the way they are at all, and I say, but I'm going to pray. It can take the despair out of any situation. It opens to miracles and possibilities beyond man's ability or even know what he even can think of. Way beyond. It puts you in another realm. There are a few scriptures about prayer that are breathtaking, really. And this is one of them. It's so far-reaching that it seems incredible. But God's word never lies. Jesus doesn't say things glibly. Now, we do sometimes. We say things because our grandpa said it. We say things because we feel like saying it. We say things for all kinds of reasons. God says things because they're true. If it seems to us that it is not the way that these verses read, then we need to find the lack in our understanding. Because it can't be God's problem. This is not God's problem. Right. It's ours. Now here's another one of those incredible scriptures. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Just start asking Daddy now. Go to the Father and ask him. I'm going to tell you, you know, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. Some say they don't pray much. See, that means my daddy and I have got this problem in our relationship. We don't talk much. That means you have a problem with God. If you don't pray much, there's a problem in your heart, how you're related to the Father. My own father was not at all perfect, but he was delightful. He was an alcoholic, and he died at the age of 48 because of that. But he always tried to, if it seemed a little bit difficult, he would still try. By the way, it's not hard for God ever. God, could you do this for me if it's not too hard for you? No, you don't ever need to pray that way. But to my earthly father, I would. And I even remember once, and this is against the rules, but I can just remember once asking Daddy if he would do such and such. And he said, if you'll do this for me, I'll work this out with you, with Mother. Now, God's not like that. He didn't make deals. See, my daddy was doing this thing not exactly in the light. It's kind of under the table. But he still was showing me favor. Now, here's a God who's perfect, who loves you, who's made a way to give you everything. I'm telling you, he wants to give you these things. The problem is always with us, or the difficulty, or whatever needs to be adjusted. So he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, most people would just be satisfied with having some joy. Now, he said, I'm just going to make your joy joyful. I'm going to put joy bubbles on your joy. That your joy may be full. You know, it's okay. I think it's okay if I say this. Jimmy said to me this morning, it's the best Christmas he's ever had. That's having your joy full of joy. Having your joy. Everybody say, my joy full of joy. Woohoo! Now, since we have help with the issue of how to get our prayers answered, we've had a lot of help through the years. The Lord has taught us much by His Spirit on prayer. We've learned a number of things that hinder or block our prayers. The enemy always tries to get us to turn our eyes to God as the one who is blocking our prayers. Now, doesn't he always say to you? He doesn't say to you, you need to learn more about praying. I wish he would. That might be one time I'd want you to believe the devil. Okay, let's get back into right theology here. The enemy's always trying to say, God's not going to do that for you. He does it for other people, but you're not good enough. You're not good enough, and you fail too much, and maybe what they taught is not true anyway, and that was for the apostles. Well, if you don't want to believe anything, just leave it all with apostles. Those 12 guys got more things. more than any 12 guys would ever need. I want some of those things they got too. But he's the one who's offering the answer to our prayers. So we begin by looking at ourselves rather than blaming God. We can begin to see more and more answers to prayer. In Matthew 5, you remember that's where Jesus says, now if you go to pray, I think it's 5:23, and there remember that your brother has ought against you. Oughts. If he has ought against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go to the home of your offended brother. Make things right. Then come back and give your gift. I'm going to tell you what that's equal to. Unless you do that, he won't hear you. See, that was the qualification I gave you in the beginning. You have to know, God, that you're in a hearing place. And if you're obstructing what God has clearly told us to, but you don't know what he did to me, it doesn't matter. You don't even need to tell me. You don't even need to tell yourself. Just say it was pretty ragged deal. I'm just going to decide that it's not going to get in the way of my prayers. Now, how can you do that, Pastor? You're a better person than I am. No, really not. We are all hunks of mud. Isaiah 40 says, all flesh is grass. Now, here's the thing. It is a choice. When you get to the place, and by you should know that I certainly have gotten to that place in my lifetime, that getting my prayers answered is far more important to me than holding an offense. You can't let offenses keep your prayers from being heard. Just go and make it right. There's been people that I have gone to and said, however I hurt you, I want to ask your forgiveness. Please don't ever say, please don't do this. Don't say, if I did anything. It's not about whether, really it's not about whether you did anything. It's about whether there's an offense going on. But you can simply say, I just want to get the thing cleared up between us by telling you I love you and I want things to be right between us. And however I've hurt you, I ask your forgiveness for that. I tell people, I need your forgiveness. I do. I need the heaven open. I need everybody's forgiveness. I don't want people holding things against me. Sometimes over Christmas season, times like that, people send me little cards and write me little notes that I haven't heard from in years. And somebody might say, well, why would they do that? And write real nice things. I say, I don't know why, but I'll take it. Amen. Whatever good feelings are coming toward me, hallelujah. Even the last time I remembered, maybe it wasn't a good feeling when I saw him. It is now, hallelujah. I got it. I receive it in Jesus' name. You don't have to wait till you get your pouting over with. You can just do it now. Hey, here's a saying for you. Cut the pout out. And get to the blessings sooner. The flesh just wants to slow down the path of your blessings. He's the one that's offering these things. So he tells us, I think I said this in my book on forgiveness, the shortest way to answered prayer is by the house of your offended brother. The shortest way to get to God is by the house of your offended brother. Then I promise you, you're in a place where your prayer will be heard. Amen. First, go by the home of that offended brother and make things right. Then bring your gift to the altar. And James tells us, if our relationship is not right with our spouse and we are not trying to make it right, please don't somebody go home and say, oh, we don't always get along. Pastor said we're hopeless. That's another one the devil might tell you. I'm just trying to get there first. What I am saying is, keep trying. Do the best you can. Have a mindset. You know, Isaiah says at 58, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. And then the blessing of God's going to begin to come to you. Be open as best you can. My mother lived with my father drinking for a number of years. She did her best. In the last year of his life, he gave his heart to the Lord. He came to the Lord. My grandmother's pastor went to see him. She was a Methodist and a good one. And he came to visit my father. And he said, I just wondered if I could pray with you and if I could maybe you feel like it, you could start coming to our church, because he really wasn't well at that point. And he said, Pastor, I just thank you so much for taking time to come visit me today. But all my life, I've really believed what my wife believes. And that's the way I'm going. She was Pentecostal. No need to deny it. If you're Pentecostal, you better go ahead and be saying it. Because that just means I've embraced everything that God wants to give me. So James tells us, if our relationship's not right with our spouse and we leave it that way, we're hindering our prayers. That's the word he uses, hindering our prayers. And Jesus again tells us, if we pray with hypocrisy in our hearts, that hinders our prayers. Don't be standing praying, well, Lord, my prayer might not be so good, but I'm sure better than so-and-so who never even comes to the prayer meetings. Well, you can write that off as not heard. how foolish it is for us to rate ourselves among our peers in the presence of God. Now, God, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. Now, relating myself to Debbie, I think this and this. How dumb. Do not go to your prayer closet by the way of dumb city. There are things in the Word of God that tell us what hinders our prayers. Now, prayer is relationship. I want to tell you this today. Answered prayer comes out of relationship. Say relationship.
Relationship.
I think there's many, many people that don't know anything about having a relationship with God. He's that person up there, we hope, that might receive this thing I'm flinging up to him, maybe. And if he chooses, I don't know what the rules are, I might get an answer. Vague, vague, vague. No wonder they've gone to just having a moment of silence. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is not bringing God our want list. Neither is it a formality in which we speak our needs or wants and hope for the best. God has made, I want you to hear this, certain guarantees to certain people. God hadn't promised exactly the same thing to exactly everybody. How many of you know this? That's why we want to know how to get in a place to receive these things. He's promised to disclose himself to certain people, but not to others. And in heaven, it's pretty clear that you can get closer to him. And I also, God, this is my theory. I believe that there's going to be some people that are just going to say, oh, no, now I've got to go back to school when I get to heaven and learn and go through these paces. You could have had it taken care of while you were on earth to get to the place where you can get closer to him, because he loves us so much. He's not going to let you stay distant from him. He's going to provide some kind of way. That's my theory. But the Word of God says that there are certain guarantees to certain people to get answer to prayers. The problem, there's a problem with doubt and unbelief, which keeps us from getting our prayers answered, is that God calls it double-mindedness. And we will not receive the answer. So James 1, 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Well, now that's tough, isn't it? No, it isn't. Because you can choose not to doubt. You just have to smack your intellect around a little bit. You get down, boy. You told me wrong the last time. I don't have to listen to you. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Okay, he's not going to get anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I remember teaching Hagen had on this called Stop Doubt at the Door. Doubt is going to rob you of getting the answer to your prayer. So once you prayed it, now you want to go forth believing it. I've prayed for this. I've got myself in line. And I believe God is going to give me what I ask. When we don't take God at his word simply, knowing that Jesus is the yea and amen, then that means we're filled with doubt and unbelief and can't receive the answer to our prayers. See, you can't receive it. That's the problem. Don't let that man think he can receive anything from God. You've shut the door. You've closed the way to your own receiving. I had this little example that happened to me over the holidays. My little nephew, Elliot, had his fifth birthday. So we had him over to the house, and we had some toys, which, thank God, his Nana knew how to get for him. Toys these days are really something, aren't they? But he loved them. He just had such a ball. And then, suddenly, a group of deer came. A buck with antlers. And some others. And Joan called his attention to it. And he ran over to the window. He was just aghast. He was awestruck. And I said, "Can you believe this, Elliot, that these deer have come to your birthday party to wish you a happy birthday?" And how he stood there at the window forever and ever and ever and ever. And then finally, before he turned away, he said, "Thank you, dear, for coming to my birthday party." Now, there's a verse that goes with that. "I send you whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall not enter the kingdom." We have got to get to the place. You know, I just said this as a sort of a fun thing. But Aunt Sue said it. It's probably so. She's my wonky aunt. She's a little different. But on the other hand, she's an adult. And there they are, and I've never seen deer like that before, and it is my birthday. I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. And rejoice. You've got a lot of reasons to believe what's in the Word of God that the enemy's telling you got a reasons not to believe. Let me tell you what happens. This thing called sophistication. You know what sophisticated means? It means mixed. It doesn't mean hotty-totty. It means you've mixed up some junk with truth. And we got so sophisticated about prayer, about everything, about going to church, or where we go to church, or what we do in church, because, you know, we've gotten grown up now, and we've got some unbelief now mixed in with our childlike faith. So it has sophisticated us to the point where we don't know if we can believe or not. So Jesus said, turn that around, get back up here, and become as a little child. You know, I think that when people first come to Jesus, when we first began the work, people would come here. A lot of people this college age and some young couples and all just believed every single word you said to them. And were just hungry to know, well, what does the scripture mean? What is that? Okay, that's good. And what does that mean? Well, that's right. Okay. Now, I ought to pray. I ought to do this. I ought to read my Bible. So that there they are praying every morning. There they are in the prayer meetings because they heard this is the way to get to him and they're hungry for him. And like little children, you could take them by the hand. I'm praying, Lord, give us little children, kingdom kids, that we can take by the hand now, bring this harvest in, and let them know that there's a lot of things that they need to learn. Jesus said, you've got to become teachable, or you're never going to partake in the kingdom. Jesus did say we have to become as little children to enter the kingdom. Now, here's the last little thing I want to share. This is something the Lord showed me that I have not seen before. Just said, wow. His guarantee to certain people for certain things. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained. And I want to show you something about this. Scripture says, whosoever will may come. And I believe that every person who is willing can come to Jesus. I don't believe in a kind of, I believe that predestination means that once you do come to Jesus with your whole heart, then he predestines you to walk in your path and will open every door to see that you get where you're going. But it is the will of God that every person would come to him. He's already made that choosing. But he chose us first, and if we will receive it, we shall know that we are the chosen of the Lord. And I have ordained you. By the way, he doesn't just choose us to go to heaven. You do know this, don't you? Oh, well, I'm going to choose that one. He should go to heaven. Actually, he died for the sins of the whole world. Everybody in the whole world that will say yes to him can go to heaven. And so he didn't just choose you so you could go to heaven. If that's all he wanted, then when he chose you, he could have shot you and everything would have been accomplished. He chose you because of what he wants to do through you. I find that the most exciting thing I can think of. He said, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. It's very important that we have remaining fruit. That's why we work at it, and we work at ministering under the anointing, because the anointing destroys yokes of bondage, so that people are not just yo-yo Christians coming and going, win a few, lose a few. We want people to be established in the truth. And then, since we are legacy church, then we want this legacy to continue on. That's how our fruit remains. That's why I tell you it's so important that we continue in the legacy, because our fruit will keep being duplicated throughout the years. That's what the apostles did. They came into the truth and it kept multiplying and multiplying through the years. It didn't die. It didn't go away. They couldn't burn them out. They couldn't run swords through them and get rid of them. It just kept remaining. So those that he chose that are bearing fruit and have an intention that it remain. Did you get that slight nuance there? Not just bearing some fruit. Well, I talked to one person I know of and they got saved. No, I'm talking about, are we living a life not just to bear fruit, but to see that that fruit remains, that it gets as much involved in the reality of the kingdom as we are? Those disciples are very precious to Jesus. So he's going to do something special for them. That your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. See, here's the problem we have. Somebody reads just those words. Well, it says in the Bible, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. It doesn't really say that. There's conditions. There's a direction, and it's for certain people. In John 15, 16, this is in another translation, says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Let me ask you this. A person that has that kind of lifestyle and has that kind of production or reproduction in his life, isn't he going to be praying for a different set of things than the other person who just read this and said, I need some whatsoever's? Let me have a Mercedes and after that a Rolex, a da 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 da. I don't believe that. I don't think God minds if you're wealthy, you don't know what to do with it. As long as you give tons of stuff to the poor, go ahead and have a Rolex. But I'm talking about that's not what's on your mind. What's on your mind is reproducing in the kingdom. The Lord has special blessings and gives special answers to prayer that people that fit in that category. If you want to get your prayers answered, get in that category. Producing fruit that lasts releases the Father to give whatever you ask in Jesus' name. Get in the category of producing fruit that lasts. I hope it's okay if I say this, because just a good example comes to me from Joan. She's a person who loves to see something through to the end. Some personality types are like that, and some just, they hope for the best and just go and live their lives. And so when the Lord puts someone in Joan's heart, she really has a concern. And she prays for them, and she does things for them, and she thinks about them. And she, her intention is they are not going to fall away. And so once or twice I've had to say to her, well, okay, Joan, you keep praying and believing, you know, but with the amount of rebellion that is there, we're just going to have to see if the person's going to turn from that or not. But it really is good to have an intention that your fruit is going to remain. It's a very important part of it. Then I think you get in a place to get special answers to prayers. The more we need His miraculous supernatural intervention as we serve Him and bear fruit, then the more it will cause Him to give us whatever we ask. Getting into the place of being a serious fruit bearer will position you to be able to tap into the promises of God in a different realm from what others do. I think that's clearly what this scripture says. The Lord showed this to me in one of my nighttime prayers, which I hope some of you are joining me in these weeks looking forward to the week of prayer and fasting. The Lord has lifted some things out like this, and I say, wow, I never saw that before. And when I read that verse and saw it like that, I took my right hand and I drew a circle around that verse, and then I said, you know, right hand, you are doing a better job on this than you used to. And then this morning when I was putting a few little notes in here, I said, Jonah, won't you come and look how nice I wrote this today? I'm just real proud of God. He's just breaking through and doing some special things for me. I have dedicated myself to fruit that remains, and I believe that I can be in a place to ask for the things I need in order to keep bearing that fruit. And you know, I just want to just add, and this is my last point, this is sort of a sub-point here. Looking toward our week of prayer and fasting, there are various things for which we pray in those meetings. We pray for ministries in the church. We pray especially for the lost and for the harvest. We pray for the nations. We pray for healing. We pray for different situations where we realize that only the power of the anointing is going to break those yokes. And it's going to take anointed praying by a number of people. Now, there are things that are accomplished when a number of people pray that are not accomplished with one person praying. That's through the Word of God, and I have preached on it. This is the number one reason for united prayer meetings or corporate prayer meetings. Please do not listen to let me mention again, our lying enemy that likes to say your prayers don't matter. Your presence matters. That you are there saying the amen. That's the strength of the uniting. Yes, I agree with that. Just keep on saying amen. And as we pray, I'm going to share with you next Sunday about how we're going to work with the anointing to pray spiritual prayers, because the anointing will destroy yokes of bondage. So that this year, with the hope and the expectation, we're going to have and see more answers as a result of these prayers that we're going to be praying. We're going to pray into the nations. As I've been coming, especially nightly, before the Lord, I say to Him, now, Lord, what is on your mind and heart tonight? Holy Spirit, will you reveal some things of Jesus to me tonight that I can be praying about, that He's concerned about, that I don't know anything about? Because I want to pray for what you want prayed for. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer. There's just a power in it. See, and actually, I could add to what I've just been saying, that one of the reasons we don't have more answered prayer is because we don't join with others in unity, praying corporately, to be empowered in another realm. You could add the answered prayers that you get praying in unity with others. That will be more answers to prayer for you. Praying only by yourself is one reason for lacking in answered prayer. So you need to pray not only by yourself. Of course, now, if you only pray publicly and don't pray by yourself, that's called a hypocrite. So, you know, we got to do both. And the Lord wants to answer both. I really do believe that the Lord wants to say something very fresh and lead us in a fresh direction in prayer this year. He wants to give us some specific things that will be burdens that we will pray for. And we believe that He's going to teach us how to pray in the anointing of the Spirit so that we can see this accomplished. Now, I want to ask you today if some of you feel that I have helped you to have some ideas of what could possibly be hindering your prayer life, or if not that, have you seen some things where you say, you know what, that's a place of access that I hadn't thought about before, or maybe I didn't even know about it before. I've made it a point to mark in my Bible places where the Lord says, if you will do this, I will do that. You know, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I'll pray the Father and He will send you a comforter, the Holy Ghost. And to get in line for these things, let me add one more thing. I want to see if the Holy Spirit will give us a little understanding on here. In conversation with Cecil the other day, we were talking about how some people that he had talked to, grandchildren or children of, or he's known some people that were very old at the time that he talked with them, that would tell stories about someone literally having a leg, how do you call it, manifested or created, a creative miracle, a leg created. The last story he told me was, actually, his stories like that are even better than his Amazon stories. But I like both of them. And so this man was a man or a woman that had that leg. He told him, the man told the girl, just start out running toward those trees over there. And she did, and she fell. And somebody wanted to go get her, and he said, no, don't go. He said, get up and go again. Go ahead, run in Jesus' name. And she went ahead, she got to those trees, and she ran back. And when she ran back, while she was running, that creative miracle came so that that foot and leg was completely restored. Didn't even have a whole leg or a foot. Was his grandfather. And he prayed for the sick. Here's something you need to know about answers to prayer in general, and I'm talking about answer to healing prayer specifically right now, is, and Cecil said, they were walking in the glory. So there was a period of time that the Pentecostal people just walked in the glory. And they had the presence of God, and they had revival. It was kind of like an ongoing revival. This is why, church, can you get this? This is why we need to pray in revival and a move of the Spirit of God where we walk in the glory. We walk in a different realm because healing not only comes through faith, it also comes through the healing presence of God. We need to pray ourselves into another realm, into a higher realm. You're in this church because you care about things like this. There are some people that are really not interested in this. They don't even get it. But you're here because you desire this. So let the Holy Spirit enable you to lay hold on whatever it is that you need to consider in your life to make right, that will put you in such a place that you can be heard by God, that God will hear you, or that you can be a partaker of those who will receive special things because those things go to certain people. That's not partiality, that's qualifying. Some people, if they got certain gifts of God, they'd kill themselves with them. They couldn't be trusted with them. And so there has to be a breaking. And as long as there's a lot of pride and high-mindedness, the Lord's not going to flow His gifts of healing through that. The Lord heals through mercy. He heals through gifts. He also heals through His presence. Remember during our revival, He was just so beautifully present. And remember with Pam Bistertan, how suddenly her womb was tipped backward. Do you remember this, Jane? And it certainly just suddenly tipped the other way, and she felt it. Just because He was there, He just healed that problem in her body. She was just so astounded that He would do that. While we were in those meetings, I know, you know, I had a little elbow that used to ache and this few little things like that. Everything like that in my body was totally healed during those times. There was so much presence of God that the wicked works of the enemy couldn't stay and niggle at us. The Lord is not wanting that. He wants our joy to be full of joy. Let's stand together in His presence. So I'm thankful looking ahead, and I hope that some of you will go ahead and especially take your young people if you don't go. And